have no gavel, but we will call the customer service meeting to order. Good morning.
Good morning.
The agenda is before us. Are there any comments, any changes, suggestions? Hearing none, I recommend approval. Next, there are the minutes. Thank you, Mr. The minutes are before us. Are there any comments or questions? If none, is there a motion for approval of the minutes?
So moved.
Thank you. Good morning. As we start here today, we have actually one information item that's before us, and that is the Safe Track item. Staff will brief the committee on the communications and outreach underway to inform riders and to coordinate the mitigation plans with our jurisdictional partners and stakeholders for the Safe Track program that began this past Saturday. Silver Line was the first among those. As we begin this year-long program, it is critical that our customers know that they expect and what to expect and the options that they have in getting around during this phase of the work. In order for us to receive this presentation, I'll turn this over to Ms. Barasak, the Assistant General Manager of Customer Service and Communications and Marketing, and she will explain the customer outreach communication. And along with that, Jim Hughes, Acting Manager Director of Rail and Transportation, who has been providing the overview on the service to Metro for the first two surges and the additional options that will be available to our riders. So, Ms. Barasak, I'll begin with you. We have a 30-minute meeting today.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to first echo what the General Manager said this morning about the extraordinary regional effort that has been rallied around Metro's communications on SafeTrack, and I think it's really the level of participation that we've seen regionally with the jurisdictions and the private sector as well as is unprecedented in my time here. Let me just start by briefly saying that since the release of the draft SafeTrack plan May 6th and the final on May 17th, we've been working with the jurisdictions and conducting briefings on the track work plan and the alternative travel options as well as traffic mitigation strategies. The slide shows you just a few of those players, but I would recognize the participation of the FTA, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the DOT agencies in the district, Maryland and Virginia, regional law enforcement, the Office of Personnel Management, Homeland Security, GSA, the Airports Authority, Arlington, Fairfax County, City of Alexandria, Montgomery County, Prince George's County, the District Council and Mayor's Office, the Greater Washington Board of Trade, the Regional Metro Chambers of Commerce, and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. We've also had extensive stakeholder briefings and resource contributed by the Commuter Connections folks, COG's website, and the coordinating body of COG and has been convening briefings and conference calls with public information officers from all of the jurisdictions, and they've served as a clearinghouse for regional information, which is greatly appreciated. Jean Sadler in particular, her work. And then the Washington Business Journal, which in addition to running stories and accepting advertising on SafeTrack, has created its own online and print resource directory, which will launch tomorrow. So we're grateful to the business leadership, business community and its leadership for their support as well. Just a few of some of the mitigation efforts, because the list is too exhaustive to include in a 30-minute meeting, but we want folks to know. So regional bus providers have stepped up to enhance service. Metrobus Fairfax Connector and ART DC Circulator is considering extending service on the weekends in the late night hours. We have, in addition to Metro's own, WMATA.com/SafeTrack website page, special SafeTrack web pages, that have been posted by Fairfax, Arlington, Prince William County and the district. GoDCGo is an example of a website that's now allowing riders to send in their commutes and get personal advice, very tailored for individuals on how to get from A to B. Fairfax County has also done letters to employers encouraging telework, which is working based on the ridership the actions that we've seen, commuter workshops and advertising on radio, buses, and even in movie theaters. Arlington has been installing Capital Bike Share particularly at the East Falls Church Metrorail Station, adding bike share capacity at Ballston and Roslyn, adding bike racks at the Ballston Station, providing ambassadors, which has been a huge help to our customers at Ballston Station to answer questions and help people navigate through the disruption, encouraged employers also to telework, and offered alternate work locations at public libraries, which is a great strategy and not one I'd heard before. Prince George's County has an online section that has been created on the county's Public Works and Transportation website for SafeTrack. And as I speak, I think the county executive is wrapping up a news conference on Safety Search 2 and getting folks ready for next week, what's coming on the county side. In the district, expanding rush hour, no parking restrictions on bus priority corridors, enhancing capital bike share, obviously, and coordinating with DCPS, which is critical as schools are still have been in session for our young people. And then in the private sector side, again, the Board of Trade spent several weeks developing guidance to minimize the disruption for business operations and employee commute, and they have a special online section on the Board of Trade website. There's van pool providers working with employers, including Zimbride by Enterprise. Uber's launched a Pooling Together campaign, and Lyft is providing Metro riders with discounted rides throughout the SafeTrack period in phases that is aligned with the SafeTrack program. So all kinds of good efforts going on there, and I'm sure more will continue as we have time and as we learn from the experience of the first couple of surges. And so this week we started with Safety Surge 1, which of course folks know is the continuous single tracking between East Falls Church and Ballston stations. I would say that so far the communications efforts on behalf of the region seem to be working. Customers are arriving unsurprised since the very beginning of the safety surge to find the changes in service. We, on day one, received fewer than two dozen calls and emails, of which six were commendations for employees in response to that effort. We did, however, learn through Twitter and other social media about rider confusion at Ballston in particular. And I would say that this is very specific to Ballston because of the rather unpredictable platforming of trains. And for customers, there's a learning curve there. No amount of signage or announcements can actually help. With that, we're finding that people are really the key at Ballston to help you navigate to know which track a train is going to come in on. And so, again, there is a learning curve for our riders and for us in terms of helping them navigate. And I think as the general manager has added people, the direction has been to add people at Ballston. That's gotten better, but it's not perfect. We still need to continue to work to help our riders there. And as the general manager said, we are seeing people spread their travel throughout the peak periods, a lot more travel in the 5 a.m. window, the 9 a.m. window. We are also seeing people take regular route bus service, and I would say that we are seeing in the first 3 days regular route bus service up as much as 30% on lines like the 5A and the 38B, and as my friend Jim Hamry says, the 3Y has become a heavy hauler. So when you is that your service, Mr. Costa? Thank you for your patronage. So we are really excited to see people using all of the network that Metro offers as well as the other regional carriers to make do through this period of time. And we appreciate customers thinking about the information, planning their trips well in advance, and heeding the warnings, and need that to continue, obviously, over the next period of time so that SafeTrack is manageable for everybody. And with that in mind, Mr. Hughes is going to talk in a little bit more detail about Safety Surge 2, and then I'll come back and talk further about communications and customer service strategies going forward.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Safety Surge 2 starts on June 18th. It is a shutdown segment for Burlington in March.
Excuse me. Your mic?
You can't hear you.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry. Surge 2 starts on June 18th. It is a shutdown between Eastern Market, Minnesota Avenue, and Benning Road. So it affects all of our lines that operate through the downtown area in that area. Two stations will be closed.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Just get it closer.
Is that better?
Get it closer.
Closer.
Yeah.
Is that better? Or should I switch mics? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I apologize.
There you
go. For this shutdown, we will be closing two stations, different than a single track because we're actually closing a section of the railroad. service that we will be closing. I'm sorry, you got me rattled from the mic. I apologize. Go through the service plan. Orange Line will run every 10 minutes outside the shutdown area, and we will be operating all 8-car trains on the Orange Line. Silver Line will be running, also running every 10 minutes outside the shutdown with a mix of 8-10-car trains. Blue Line trains will run every 12 minutes. They will operate between Franconia Springfield and Arlington Cemetery only. The Yellow Rush Plus service will operate all day long with the midday service operating Mount Vernon on a normal 12-minute frequency. After 10 o'clock at night, we reduce frequencies as we normally do as the ridership drops. To assist crowding and respond to normal service delays, we've got 3 additional gaps that we put out there. Gap trains we put in when we have an issue, when we have a crowding problem. We have extra trains staged at locations to help us with that. We also have additional station managers, people in the stations, our transit police are out there. We have station attendants, platform attendants out there. For each peak, we've got approximately 50 to 60 people additionally on the platforms that are impacted by the stations and by the service changes. We also have additional maintenance personnel out there. We have people to relate to car problems, relate to track problems, relate to systems problems. So if something happens while we're operating the service, we've got people on site or as close as we can get to the site to respond to incidents. We've done this through the first surge, and we will continue to do it through all of the surges. And it helps us just to respond to everything that's out there. In terms of travel alternatives, there are some additional rail service. If people are coming from the Northeast, if they're coming from 95 Carter, BW Parkway, we suggest they consider riding the MARC, the Penn Line, or the Camden Line from New Carrollton or Greenbelt. That's an alternative for them. We're an alternative for the MARC. When MARC has a problem, they're also an alternative for us. There will be free bus shuttles operated where the shutdown is affected, so they will operate between Eastern Market and Benning Road stations and between Eastern Market and Minnesota Avenue. We also have additional rush hour service on some of our routes, 97 route, the TA route, and the Fairfax Connected route, the 599, which operates down from Ruston down to Pentagon and Crystal City. We also will be operating extra service on Metro Extra Limited Stop service that runs throughout the day on the 9X, and Arlington Transit has substantially increased their service on the ART 43 service. And so they're going to, presently operates peak hours only. It's going to operate every 10 minutes, 20 minutes in the midday, and they're going to operate evening service. So it's a significant increase in terms of service serving the Blue Line riders. There's also parking. Park and ride from, if you park and ride now at New Carrollton, Landover, Chevrolet stations, we recommending riders take the Green Line to park and ride facilities at Greenbelt College Park or Prince George's Plaza. I'm done. Thank you.
So, to help our customers learn about Safety Surge 2 and what to expect, WMATA.com has very specific information, and as of today, we have a new video. It's very brief, we'll just show it. To help people understand the surge. Email notifications are being sent out to our Metro Alert subscribers, our customers who are SmartTrip cardholders through community groups and through our jurisdictional partners. Starting on Monday, station signage will go up and announcements across the system regarding Safety Surge 2. As we saw for Safety Surge, one will continue to advertise in the Washington Post Express, as well as in many multilingual publications, including El Tiempo, Washington Hispanic, the Washington Afro, some I can't pronounce, Nye, Korea Times, Zethiopia, Epic Times, among others. As you know, we have 26 languages spoken on our system, so the need to continue to reach out in a multilingual way is important. We also do radio advertising in different languages, and the pamphlets that we have today show you some of those languages as well. If you go to the next slide, please, some of the communications channels that we've been using. Obviously, WMATA.com is a very, very powerful channel for us. It's the biggest gateway to information that riders have. With respect to Twitter, it is a small but important audience of about 4% of riders. We have, in the first few weeks of May, before we kicked off the SafeTrack plan, tweeted across all four of our WMATA accounts more than 2,400 Twitter postings to get information out, and they were either liked or shared or retweeted 9,300 times. That's before SafeTrack even launched. I know that a number of board members, including Mr. Price, have an interest in customer service on Twitter. We have communications. We haven't had customer service on Twitter historically. In the customer accountability report plan that the general manager launched this year, we included a customer service expansion at our contact center. We are on track to launch that before Labor Day. It will happen this summer. So this week we are finishing up the implementation of new technology. It is, we're moving from a PeopleSoft-based platform to an Oracle-based platform. It is the same social relationship management software that Southwest Airlines uses and Marriott uses, as well as the MTA in New York. Once that technology is fully integrated in the WMATA system, it will enable us to do more functional social media outreach, not only communicate with customers on Twitter, but accept their pictures, engage in chats, and that kind of thing. Our employees need to be trained on that. More importantly, we've hired 4 new employees to do exclusively customer social relationship management. They begin new employee orientation on Monday. They are all 4 of them from the private sector, one from a national retail chain, one from a regional utility company, one from a healthcare provider locally, and another from a Maryland customer contact center that supports multiple businesses. I think they'll bring a very fresh perspective. They all have extensive, they're young professionals, but they all have extensive social customer care experience, and I think they're going to bring a very new perspective to our customer contact outreach, and I look forward to being able to provide that level of service for our riders for the majority of the SafeTrack program beginning in September. We also have Metro Alert subscribers. Gail, if you can show the graphic on the extra slide. The Metro Alert subscriber base is growing, and if Gail can show the slide, there we go. So as you can see, the uptick in this year, we're now at about 20% of our customers who engage online getting information from Metro Alerts, and that's a good sign. It allows them to customize the information that we send them so we don't bombard them. They can register by station, by rail line, by bus route, what information they want to get. And so I think for SafeTrack, that's a really important tool for us, and we're continuing to pump out information to customers using that channel. Obviously, for Safety Surge 2, we're going to continue to rely on the jurisdictions. Our COG convener, PIO group, now has 50 participants. They've been doing all kinds of work that you all know about. Chairman Bulova held a press conference when we kicked off Safety Surge 1. Arlington has a team of transit HR and communications staff working with the county manager's office to develop materials and provide guidance to county employees, had a press event there. I know of other jurisdictions who are using their newsletters and employee meetings to spread the word, so of course that will continue to be critical for us. The bilingual street teams, which I mentioned, in-person outreach at stations is in Spanish and English at the beginning of each surge, and then of course the materials are multilingual, the online is multilingual. We will continue to use the online in-system information, kiosk screens, announcements that are really critical to our customers throughout the SafeTrack period, including before each safety surge. Next slide. What's guiding our outreach is really a strategy that's driven by our customers. Before we started Safety Surge 1 at the end of May, we went to the Amplify community, which, as you know, is now about 3,200 of our customers who are registered, and more than half of them responded, 1,600, and said that 94% had heard of the SafeTrack program before the first safety surge. So we knew that the level of awareness was quite high, but our job was to really give people information about each safety surge. And the way that our customers said they wanted to learn that was more than half through WMATA.com, and then the next largest group was through newspaper and television. They also mentioned social media, Greater Washington, Dr. Gridlock, their employers in the OPM, and some of our radio partners. So in the next slide, which I know you can't see because the type is too small, that's one day's media coverage, one day. And I share this with you because I really do want to thank the media in this region who are doing an enormous public service by pushing out so much information to our customers. And I hope that they found our information easy to translate, but it has been an extraordinary amount of coverage.
Ms. Bowser.
Yes.
Can we move to the going forward so we could have some questions?
Yes, ma'am.
From,
so we'll just say that what you can expect in the next in the next safety surge is to see more ads, continuing work through the COG, and we are doing right-of-way protection training for reporters so that they can be escorted out and see the track work that's going on and report on the progress that we're going to be making. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Question, Mr. Bolger.
Jim, you mentioned in your presentation that we were going to 10 car trains. Is that physically possible on Surge 2?
Can't get to 10.
Yep. We're not going to 10 car trains.
No.
So 10 car was a misspoke.
10 headway, 8 car trains. I apologize.
Well, I just want to be clear that we can fit in the stations with 8 car, not 10 car. Okay. Just clarifying it. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Porter.
Okay, I very much appreciate the information on all the outreach that you're doing. I would also note that for the surges that affect the red line in Montgomery County, which is 6, 7, and 10, I believe, Montgomery County is also itself providing some free ride-on shuttle services. And I hope that the materials that go out prior to those surges also include the additional efforts that other counties are making, because that would be an option that people would need to know. And I hope we're not just sort of saying, well, this is what we're doing in Montgomery County, you have to tell people what you're doing. I hope we're putting them all together so that people have a one place where they can get all the information.
Yes, that's our intention, and that's what the COG has been so helpful in doing is gathering that material. And as we have it, as our materials are printed, we put out whatever everybody else is doing in terms of mitigation so the riders have the best information possible. And then as more information is available, we post that online if it didn't make the print deadline.
Okay. The other question that I have is, I know that the city of Tacoma Park itself is looking to some small things that it might be able to do to assist people who use the Tacoma Station, which is going to be involved in Surge 6. And I know you've coordinated, because that station is in the District of Columbia, I'm sure you've coordinated with the District of Columbia, but have you attempted to coordinate with some of the smaller jurisdictions that might themselves be doing things like the City of Tacoma Park?
So again, I would point back to the COG. Everybody's invited to participate, and I know, for example, the City of Gaithersburg has been in participation, so some of the smaller markets where there has been engagement have already happened through the COG, and we would continue to invite. We have 50 participants on those calls. We continue to invite PIOs, DOT representatives, anybody else to join those calls. I think they're helpful also because they're benefiting from each other. There's a lot of ideas being shared there among the jurisdictions, and it's leading to a lot of creative solutions and information sharing.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Lubby.
Thank you. I live out in Virginia. I've experienced the Orange Line this week, and a lot of things go good, a lot of things not so good. But I'm wondering, do you have a mechanism in place to learn from Surge 1 and make adjustments to Surge 2, or is everything working so perfectly we don't need to adjust those programs?
No, in fact, we even the first day we did hot wash,
hot washes, basically, and said we continue to do that, not only obviously internally, but externally as well, with police, emergency people, DOTs, just to see what we can learn and continue to improve and to prepare for the second surge.
So is there anything in particular that you're going to do differently on surge two that you hadn't planned before?
There are a number of things. We'll roll it out together as we get closer, some of the things that might be a little different because we want to communicate it at one time so people understand if there's something different.
Any other questions, Mr. Mel?
Yeah. Sure. Thank you for your efforts so far on the communication of this. I'm very concerned, obviously, about Surge 2 and its impact, particularly on Prince George's County. It's not any way similar to Surge 1, so there really isn't much to be, you know, learned, as it were, from Surge 1. It's a completely different situation altogether. And, you know, quite frankly, as I'm out there trying to share with people what's going on, they haven't really received a clear message coming out of WMATA as far as, and partly because there's so much communication going on, to really understand that the people of Prince George's County are going to be cut off during this time frame, and that the 25,000 or so people who would typically get on that, this bus bridge will really only be able to move like 2,000 of them. And that's a shutdown. I mean, that really is a shutdown. And that, as I talk to people, and as you said, there is a press conference today to talk about that, that message has got to get to folks very clearly and to understand that they really need to stay in place as much as possible because, and again, you all know this, I've talked to you about this quite a bit, and we've talked about this in the county, that while we are encouraging people to go to the Green Line and to use MARC, there isn't enough capacity even within those to take on all the people who are going to be displaced. And we only have really two ways in from Prince George's County. I mean, we got 295 and we got 50, and that's it. And so if there's a way, I mean, obviously we've got this form here. I mean, we need a more clear form. We need a more clear communication that just says, look, this is broken. I mean, we're going to be shut down from June the 18th to July the 3rd, and, you know, we got some alternatives, but you really need to get that message clear. This is so much, as I go out and talk to people, there's so much on here now, it's very hard for them to really get a sense of like, the gravity of what we're talking about. And it is also important, as we hear, and we talk about things like the social media, and I'm excited that the folks are coming on for that, but we gotta be more aggressive there. I mean, we gotta be more aggressive to let people know, because there you can give them that information in real time and in those snippets that they can truly understand and get the fact that we're shut down for that time frame, and that they're gonna have to find ways. And it's just, I really want, and I hope we're gonna be much more focused, because this one is not similar. It's the first one. We find ourselves here. We know that it was initially planned to be moved out a little bit more, but we find ourselves here, and I'm very concerned. I really am concerned about this, and I really am looking for your help on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, concerns?
Ms. Hudgens?
Yes, Mr. Dorsey.
So I'd just like to say that, you know, the communications effort, and this is going to somewhat dovetail with what Mr. Augustine was talking about and then diverge a little bit, you know, the communications effort has been really impressive, the number of channels that we're pushing things out on. I do think we have to monitor, and I don't think we've reached that point, but we do have to monitor whether or not going out in so many different channels creates a noise overload where people stop listening. So I think that's just going to be something that we'll have to apply to each successive effort and initiative, recognizing how distinct they are. I mean, even with Surge 2, for riders who typically board at the shutdown stations, the message is simple and clear. Can't use these to get on or to get off. But to the wider community that uses the system, a lot of the things that we learn in Surge 1 do apply, because people will have to avail themselves of alternatives and understand the flow of trains throughout the system and how that might affect their commute. And then the other thing that I would say is an important thing that I think we've seen in Arlington thus far, and Lynn, thank you for mentioning Ballston. You can plan for lots of contingencies, but ultimately, once this gets going, you realize you typically have a need that you didn't expect, and in this case, people with bullhorns, thank you for having them, who were directing the flow of people within the station. And as we move forward, we think about the summer months, we think about increased tourists, we think about people who have lack of familiarity with all the outreach that we're doing. I think having people who have the ability to provide crowd control and just be available to help is going to be critically important.
Thank you, Mr. Dorsey. I think it's really important to recognize that this is week one and that really there are going to be experiences. And so I think the information that we're providing kind of helps to move us to that next part. But I think just watching the experience this morning as I came in, some people were not certain whether or not they needed to get off at Boston, but they learned that maybe that they were going right through. And I think those are going to be, as you have noted, known experiences that they're going to have to go through. And I think that's part of this adjustment that we're going to have to all make. And so getting more service out is really important in places where there is no connectivity. But if that's not going to happen, people need to have the tenor that you need to find an alternative because that's where we are in this. So I think it's a learning stage. But I will say there has been an enormous amount of coordination between jurisdictions. Really, I think it speaks well in terms of what we've all said we could do regionally together. And so we will have to keep sharing that information and try and figure out how best to do that. Are there any other comments that we have here at this time? I just have one other question. Is there information about the ambassador piece that can be pushed out further into the community? Because I really do think having as many feet on the ground and hopefully folks who are familiar with our community and willing to give some time that can help. That would be helpful sharing. Any other business to come before the committee? If none, we are adjourned.